This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning everyone. Bruchim Abon to the Kailal Agur de Pirka in Kew Garden Hills, New York. I'm in Cedarhurst, but Bezus Hashem, hope to be together soon. Today is the yard site of my great-grandfather, so learning should be Le'ilei Nishmas, Shmuel Yaakov Ben Tzvi. We're going to speak about a topic. It's Mamish Siyata D'Shmaya that this topic came up. As you're going to see, it's a topic I know I've been speaking a lot about lately, and I did not intend to speak about it again this week, but somehow it just came up, and we're going to bring out a very important nekuda. Today you have to put on your thinking caps and your lamdasha glasses. Parshas Emor, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Do not defile my holy name, v'nik dashti, and I will be sanctified, v'soich b'nei Yisrael. In the midst of the children of Israel, ani Hashem mekadeshchem, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So from this Gemara of v'nik dashti, from this pasuk, v'nik dashti, I will be sanctified, v'soich b'nei Yisrael, we learn out a number of things. Aside from the fact that we learn out the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which is that when somebody is put to the ultimate challenge, where somebody has to either denounce his belief in the cardinal principles of Judaism, when somebody is challenged with one of the three cardinal sins, one is obligated to give up their life, and this is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, but even if it's not for one of the cardinal sins, even if it's for any mitzvah in the Torah, but if it's public, if it's among the Bnei Yisrael, one has to sanctify the name of God. The Gemara Brachos learns out from here that minayin she'ein hayachid oimer kedusha. How do I know an individual does not say kedusha? Shenemar v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Kol davar shebekdusha lo yehei pachas me'asara. Any matter of holiness, whether it's kriyas ha'toira, to say kaddish, to say kedusha, to say baruchu, to say amin yishmei rabba, kriyas ha'toira, haf toira, none of these things may be performed if you don't have 10 people. How do we see you need 10 people? Says the Gemara, it says the word toich. And it says by koirach, hibadlu mitoich ho'eda hazois. And over there, it says by koirach, hibadlu mitoich ho'eda hazois. It says toich by koirach. And it calls koirach an eda. And eda, we learn out from the meraglim, was 10. Because there were 12 meraglim, take away Yoshua and Kalev. So from here we learn that for a davar shebekedusha requires a minyan. By the way, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that let's say you have a koifer or a roitzeach and you have 9 people and you're walking down the street and you need a center, you're allowed to be mitzdarev a koifer to a minyan. Because since the makar of minyan are the meraglim, and the meraglim, they ad kedei kach, Rashi says they were koifer be'ikar. So from here we learn that to create a minyan, you could even be mitzdarev as someone who is not a shomer taro mitzvahs. But let's think about this concept for a moment. Obviously this is a concept, this is reality that we live with every day, because we're not able to daven with a minyan. We don't have a minyan, unfortunately. so we're stuck davening at home. So while Karev Hashem l'chol karev l'chol asher yikru v'emes, nevertheless, there are important parts of davening that we're not really capable of saying. But let's try to understand this. So you could have, Rav David Feinstein, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, all the big Rosh Shivas in America, you gather them together in a room, and they make up 9, and they cannot daven with a minyan. It doesn't matter. You could take the whole Mayetzes G'dolei HaTorah. They can't daven with a minyan. Even though maybe they all know Shas, and maybe they're all the highest level of your Shamayim and Midos Toivos, nevertheless, they cannot create a minyan. And yet, go to a jail, not a petty crime jail, go to a jail of Roitzchim and Noafim and every bad Avira in the world. If you could get 10 of these Chalerias in a room, they could daven with a minyan. So you're telling me 9 Gedolei Hadar cannot be mitzdarev to make a minyan. And 10 roitzchim could be mitzdarev to me. How's that possible? One Gadol Adar could put all of them in his back pocket. He knows more than all of them and anyone they know. Imagine you took Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Ruderman, Rav Avadi Yosef, Rav Eliyashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Tzitz Eliezer. You take them nine Gedolei Olam, put them in a room. They can't say the words Baruch Hu Hashem Amvayrach. And you take 10 people who Chazal say in Lohem Chelik Loilam Abba, and they could be mitzdarif and make a minion. How's that possible? How do you explain that? Why would that be? It's just about numbers. It's quantity and not quality. The Gemara Nivama Isan Samach Bey says 12,000 pairs of Talmidim Rabbi Kiva had. They extended from Gavas until Antiparis, and they all died in one time because they were not noyeg kavod zeh lazeh. And the world was desolate until Rabbi Akiva came to the sages in the south, and he taught them. Who did he teach? Rabbi Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua. And they established the Torah at that time. Says the Gemara, they all died between Pesach and Shavuos. So the first thing is, let's understand, why did they specifically die during this time of the year? Primarily, the month that occupies the space between Pesach and Shavuos is Iyar. Why did they die primarily in Iyar? And Bechlal, we're talking about Tanoim. We're talking about people who could be Mechaye Mesim. We're talking about Gedolei Olam. Why was it that they were not able, the Gemara says, they were not Noye Kavod Zeh Lazeh? Why? Why did they have this difficulty being Noye Kavod Zeh Lazeh? And why specifically Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim? After all, if Rabbi Akiva was the greatest of the Tanoim, then why did his Talmidim have this issue and not, let's say, the Talmidim of other Tanoim? So this is the question of the Shem Yishmuel in his entry on Lag BaOmer, where he quotes the Gemara in Yavama Samach Beis. And how is it, he says, look, he says, Tzadikim, they're not like us. Our emotions are very powerful, and we can't always control our emotions. But says the Shem Yishmuel, these Tzadikim, their hearts were in their own control to turn, to incline, to whatever direction they would want. Why were they not Noye Kavod Zeh Lazeh? And why were they punished specifically during this time period? So, Marv Raboisai, I'm going to make a brief appeal for whoever is listening here and whoever is listening out there. So, we're working on a sefer on the Holy Tana, Reb Meir, and it's coming to completion in its writing. I thought this coming Friday would be the last year on it, and I had no intention of speaking about Reb Meir today, but I had Baruch Hashem Siyata Deshmaya, because I forgot about an entire chapter about Rav Meir Shita, and we're going to about to speak about it right now. So if anybody wants to participate in the publishing of the Sefer, please contact us. It will be greatly appreciated. We appreciate those who have participated so far. But the Gemara says in Kedushin, and I want to introduce it, the Chidar writes, I believe in the Sefer Rosh David, that the principle that we are the children of Hashem is the cornerstone principle of Kol HaTorah Kula. He calls it Pinas Yikras Yesoid HaTorah. It is the cornerstone principle of the Torah, that we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we learned in Pirkei Avos this past week, Parag Gimel, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Banim LaMakim. However, the Shaila is, and the Gemara in Kedushin discusses, it's a Machlokes, Rabbi Huda and Rav Meir, it's also brought in the Sefri, and that is, what if we don't act that way? If you take your kids to the park, and they're rowdy, and they misbehave, and somebody looks at them and says, who are these kids? So, could you say, I don't know, I'm not sure, I adopted them. No, it doesn't work this way. If you have children, they're your kids, no matter how they act. But the Gemara feels that it's not so simple in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yehuda says that we are God's children when we act that way. When we don't act that way, we're His avadim. And Rav Meir, as we mentioned so many times, holds, Bein kach u bein kach atem kruyim banim. Shenemar, Rav Meir famously quotes four pasuk, psukim, banim schalim, foolish children. Va'oimer, another pasuk, banim loy emon bam, children who have no faith. Va'omer, another pasuk, zera mereim banim mashchisim, evil children, corrupted children. Va'omer, And it will be that instead of it be said that you are not my people, it will now be said you are the children of the living God. So the Gemara asks, why do we have to bring so many psukim? And the Gemara says, well, because you would think maybe we're children when we act foolish, but not when we don't have emunah. No, even when you have no faith, you're still God's kids. But maybe not when you serve idols. No, even when you serve idols and you're mashchisim, you're still God's kids. But maybe I would say, okay, you're called a naughty boy. No, you're called a geshmaka, gezunta, a taira, yingala. Doesn't matter what we do. So, it doesn't matter what we do. And how do we paskin? So, you'll say, what do you mean, how do we paskin? This is not a matter of halacha, but we've mentioned many, many times, the Rajba writes in 2 Tshuvas, Simen Kuf Tzadi Dalet, Simen Resh Mem Beis, that we paskin like Rav Meir. The reason why we paskin like Rav Meir is because Rav Meir cites many psukim to defend his position. Kroi kodaiki kivasayu. Over the years, we quoted other reasons why we paskin like Rav Meir from Rabbi Yaakov Sha'altiel, because the only reason typically we don't paskin like Rav Meir, right? In general, we never paskin like Rav Meir. The Gemara Ne'erevin says we don't paskin like Rav Meir, but the reason is because lo yardu chachamim l'sayf daitoi. Rav Meir's opinion is so deep, we don't understand it. But we mentioned that our relationship with God is relevant to God. So in God's realm, he certainly understands the depth of Rav Meir's shita, and therefore, regarding this issue, we paskin like Rav Meir. Others say we paskin like Rav Meir because typically Rav Meir is quoted first as the Tana Kama, and here he's quoted last to indicate he has the last word. Be it as it may, in this instance we paskin like Rav Meir, that we are always the children of Hashem. I'll just remind you, on Friday, in the Pirkei Avos share, we learned that the Ramban disagrees with the Rajban. The Ramban says we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. It's a Ramban in Hazinu. And the Kloisenberger Rebbe says Rashi in Parshas Re'eh also seems to indicate we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But that being the case, we're going to be exploring Rav Meir's opinion that we are always considered the children of Hashem. Get a load of this. We're about to open up a new understanding of this. Let's try to understand the concept of a minyan and a tzibur. The Gemara tells us, La'olam tehei emas tzibur alecha. Always be afraid of the tzibur. Why should I be afraid of the tzibur? Yankel, I'm not afraid of Yankel. Beryl, I can put Beryl in my back pocket. Fivel, nothing to be scared of. Why do Chazal tell us one should always have emas hatzibur alecha? To the point where the Gemara says that the Adoin Hanavim, the greatest of all the prophets, Moshe Rabbeinu, was punished because he said, Shimu Nahamoyram, listen up, you rebels. So ask the Ran in the Drashas Haran, it's number 6 on your sheet, why was Moshe punished for calling the Jewish people rebels? Reuven was a rebel. Shimon was a rebel. Levi was a rebel. Every individual Yid was a rebel. So what was Moshe doing wrong by calling them rebels? And says the Ran, and the Ran reveals an amazing concept, that Klal Yisrael does not just the sum total of its parts. Klal Yisrael is not just 600,000 people. One, two. You know what is the entity of the Jewish people? The entity is Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali. The names that make up the composite of the Jewish people. No. The details, the individual Jews that make up the Jewish people, fuse together, join together, and when they come together, they are elevated above the sum total of their parts. They are forged into an entity called Tzibur, and the Tzibur transcends the respective limitations of each individual. So while Reuven may be a rebel, and Shimon may be a Rasha, and Levi might be a no-goodnik, but together, Klal Yisrael is untouchable. And the entity of Klal Yisrael is not diminished, not by the shortcomings of Reuven, and not even by my shortcomings. there's an entity, there's a composite called Yisrael that transcends the respective limitations of each individual. Says the Ran, this is what the Gemara means when it cites the opinion of Rav Meir, that we are always the children of Hashem. Even if we're foolish, even if we don't keep mitzvahs, even if we have a no emuna, even if we worship idols, we're called a Tayra Yingala. Says the Ran, not the pshat that Reuven is called a Tayra Yingala. No, maybe Reuven is a Rasha Marusha. As a Yachid, the individual, he might be foolish, he might be corrupt, and he's not called a good child, according to the Ran. When the Gemara says that Rav Meir holds, we are always the children of Hashem, that means the entity of Israel, the entity of Klal Yisrael, of the nation, B'nai Yisrael, are always called the children of Hashem. In other words, as a collective composite, we are untouchable, we are not diminished by the limitations of our of what makes us up. And in that sense, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to call the Jewish people Moirim. He could call Reuven, he could say, Reuven, you're a rebel. Shimon, you're a rebel. Levi, you're a rebel. But he could not say that the Jewish people are rebels, because as a nation, as a people, we are the Ama Nivchar, we're B'nai Kelchai. This is the principle of the Ran, and this is a principle that we're about to explore based on six different svarim of Rav Yosef Rosen, known as the Ragachev Ragoin. He is often referred to as Tzafnas Paneach. He was born in Ragachev in 1858, and he was Nifter in Vienna in 1936. He was one of the greatest Goyim of the 20th century. He had a photographic memory. He was born in Ragachev in the Belarus to a family of Lubavitcher Hasidim. And at the age of 13, he went to study in Slutsk by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, under Reb Chaim's father, the Beis Halevi. He then studied under Maharil Diskin. And then he was the Rav of the Hasidic community in Dvinsk for about 50 years. And his counterpart of the Litvish community was Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. And they served side by side for 50 years in excellent relation. He actually gave smicha to Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson. He gave smicha to Rabbi Savitsky's father, Mordechai Savitsky. Okay, now it's interesting that he had many writings, and his manuscripts were smuggled out of Latvia in the form of micro photographs, which were mailed to a Safran family in the Bronx at the outbreak of World War II. And those who were convinced to help smuggle out his manuscripts were both caught by the Nazis and were killed. So many of his ksavim were published by Rav Nachum Mendel Kasher and some by Rav Mordechai Pinchas Teitz. So the Ragachev was one of the greatest all-time Gaonim. And he discusses this concept that the Ran mentions, and that we quoted from the Gemara in Soita and Daf Mem, that La'olam tehe emas sibar alecha. So we begin in number 8 in a sefer called Michtavei Torah, where in Michtavei Torah he says that the Rambam scoffs at those who want to differentiate between the concept of composite and detail. However, says the Ragachever, the truth is, this is a very big geder and machloikis in many areas regarding the tzibur and the prat. In other words, let's try to understand the concept of prat and tzibur. Are the pratim a chilek of the tzibur, or are they a mitzios bifnei atzmam? What does this mean? In other words, we could say the same thing about the human body, for instance. Let's talk about the human body. Is there such a thing as a detail? Is a detail an entity in and of itself? Or is it merely a fragment of the composite? Or we could say the other way around. Is a composite an entity of itself, or is it merely a composite of all the details? For example, is there really a concept of human being? Is there an entity of human being? Some philosophers would say, no, there's no such thing as a human being. There's blood, and there are veins, and there are cells, and there are teeth, and there's enamel, and there's hair, and there's skin, and there are eyes, and they just happen to come together, but there's no entity of human being. It's just the various details that make it up. Or do we say no? There's no such thing as... Or we say no. A tooth is just a tooth, and a vein is just a vein, and blood is just a blood. And each one in and of itself is almost... has no value, only in that it comes together to produce an entity called human being. Here, I'll give you a good example. Until about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, my life was wonderful. And then somebody gave me this big box that I don't even know what it is. It has wires, and it has chips, and it has buttons, and it has a glass screen. And, you know, it makes your life very complicated. You get messages on it. People need things on it. You could send things on it. A computer, you know, a computer can make your life easy, and a computer could make your life extremely difficult. So, is a computer just a composite of wires, battery, chips, buttons, glass, screen, and metal? Or do we say, no, a wire can't do anything, a chip can't do anything, a battery can't do anything, a glass screen can't do anything. It's only the way it is put together, the various details that are in it of itself, very limited, fused together to create something that transcends the limitation of each detail. So this is a chakira that the Ragachavar declares in the Michtavei Torah. And he says this is really a machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi. And that is, let's say you have a mezumen, so you say Baruch Shachanu Mishalai. Let's say you have 10 people, you say Baruch Eloikeinu Shachanu Mishalai. Let's say you have 100 people. If you have 100 people, you say Nevarech Hashem Eloikeinu. There is an opinion. You say Nevarech Hashem Eloikeinu. And let's say you have 1,000. The Gemara says Nevarech Hashem Eloikeinu Elokei Yisrael. And let's say you have 10,000. You say Nevarech Hashem Eloikeinu Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzavakos Yoshev Akruvim. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah Brachas Daf Nun. Says Rabbi Akiva, no, there's no difference, not between 10, 11, 20, 100, 1,000, 10,000, a gazillion. You could be benching in MetLife Stadium, and it's going to be the same. Nevarech Eloikeinu Shachanu Mishalai. It's Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi. Who do we paskin like? Look in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, some Kuf Tzadi Beis, number 10 on your sheets, the bottom line, Bein Shiyah Sara, Oy Meya, Oy Elef, Oy Riboy, Kach Heim Avarchem. What is this Machlokes? What is the Machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva? Says the Ragachavar, explained by Rav Menachem Kasher in number 11 in the Pirkei Mavoi, Tetzaf Nas Baneach, he says, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili holds that a tzibur is merely the sum total of its parts. So if you have 10 people, the tzibur is 10. And if you have 11 people, the tzibur is 11. And if you have 100 people, it's 100 people. And if it's 1,000, it's 1,000. And therefore, the respective value of a tzibur of 100 is much greater than of 10. And the respective value of a tzibur of 1,000 is much greater than 100. And therefore, it shows. When you have 10 people, you say Nevarech Eloikeinu. When you have 100, you say Hashem Eloikeinu. When you have 1,000, you say Hashem Eloikeinu Elokei Yisrael. When you have 10,000, you say Nevarech Hashem Eloikeinu Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzavakos Yoshev Akruvim. In other words, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yossi, a tzibur is not a different entity than the individuals who make it up. So if you have less individuals, the respective value of a tzibur is less. If you have more individuals, it's more. And it's going to show in the text that you say, in the liturgy that you say. And therefore, the more people, the more you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Rabbi Yossi holds there's no such thing as an entity of a tzibur.
A tzibur is merely the sum total of its parts. So, you know, according to Rabbi Yossi, you could have the following expression, a chashav a tzibur. Because if the people who daven in the shul are chashav, then the tzibur is more chashav. If the people who daven in the shul are not chashav, then the tzibur is not chashav. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. But comes Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says like this, a tzibur is much greater than the sum total of its parts. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to call Klal Yisrael Moirim, rebels. That is because they were not rebels. As a tzibur, they're not rebels. They transcend the limitations of their respective members. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva holds, the same way a tzibur is not downgraded by the respective limitations of their members, a tzibur is not upgraded by the respective levels of their members either. And therefore, a tzibur would not differentiate between 10, 100, or 1,000. Interestingly, in number 12 in the Sefer Mefaneach Tzifunais, the Rugged Shavar, quoted by Rav Menachem Kasher, he quotes the question of the philosophers also, about the philosophers disagree. There are camps of philosophers of idealism and camps of philosophers of realism. And again, they debate whether a human being is more than the whether a human being is more than just his hair and skin and eyes and teeth, or does the human being fuse together to become a composite that transcends this? Here's another illustration of this machlokes, which we find in the Shas Tshuvos Safnas Paneach, brought in the Pirkei Mavoi on page 56. Let's say I say, I hereby, and I'm not saying this, but let's say somebody would say, I hereby make a neder that I will not get hana from anyone in the city of Kew Garden Hills. Okay, so all you guys in the Kollel Agur D'Pirka, all you tzaddikim, tamidei chachamim, I can't get hana from you. But let's say somebody then comes and moves into Kew Garden Hills later and lives in Kew Garden Hills for 12 months. The opinion of the Ran and the opinion of Ramban is, excuse me, the opinion of the Ran and the opinion of the Rambam is that I am usher not only to everyone living in Kew Garden Hills, but if somebody moves in later and lives there for 12 months, then you are prohibited. Then the person who made the nether is prohibited. In other words, one is usher not only to those who are living in the city, but also to those who move into the city and halachically become a resident of the city. However, the Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban holds you're only usher to those living in the city. So the Rugged Shavar comes and explains, what is this machlokes? What is the machlokes between the Ran and Rambam, who say you're usher to anybody who will ultimately live in the city, and the Ramban, who says only those who are currently living in the city? Says the Rugged Shavar and the Shas Tshuvos, the machlokes is very simple. When you asser yourself to the residents of the city, what is a city? What is a composite? If a city is just a sum total of its parts, so it's only a sum total of the parts of those who are currently living in the city. If someone moves into the city later, he was not a resident of the city, and therefore you're not usher to him. Hence the opinion of the Ramban. However, the Ran and the Rambam hold that there's an entity called a city, and the entity of the city is much greater than the sum total of its parts. It transcends to become an entity called city residents. Well, city residents mean anyone who's a resident of the city. So even someone who moves in later, provided that they're living there for 12 months, would be considered a resident of the city, and the person who made the neder would be usher to them. Okay, let us continue. Number 17. There's a halacha that a
Karban mincha can only be brought by a yachid and not by shutfim. Because it says v'nefesh kisakrev. Only a individual, only an individual could bring a karban yachid, not partners. Frag Toisves, how does a soita bring a karban soita, which is a mincha, but technically when the soita brings a karban, she's bringing it on behalf not only of her, but on behalf of her husband as well. And a husband and wife are a partnership. So the same way, shutfim cannot be makriv, a karban mincha. A husband, a soita, should not be able to be makriv, a karban mincha either, because it's considered a karban of partners. Ah, oh, comes the ragged shavar and he says, no. There's a very big difference between partners and a husband and wife. A husband and wife, marriage is not a partnership. It's whatever she says. No, just joking. Marriage is not a partnership. Marriage is a institution. Marriage, meaning, it's not husband and wife. It's ishus. It's not ish v'isha. It's ishus. It's a fusion. It's a harkava. It's a harkava mizagis. Mazgis, it's a fusion and a mixture of a entity called marriage. So it's not considered a karban mincha of shutfim, but instead it's considered brought on behalf of this institution. Hence, a husband and wife would be able to bring the karban of a saita. We now move on to a great lamdus of a gadol b'Yisrael, also one of the great gadolim of the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, Rav Yosef Engel, who was a Rav in Krakow, and ultimately he's buried in Vienna, had this chus to be at his kever, and he wrote many, many svarim, Gol Yoni Hashas, Shivim Panam LaTorah, Lekach Toiv, Aslan Dairaisa, Beisa Oitzar, and like the Ragged Shavar, he also had an encyclopedic memory, and he was able to fuse together and weave together strands of Nigla, Nistar, Lamdus, Kabbalah, Chasidus. And he deals with a very interesting Shaila. He deals with the following Shaila. Says the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Mem Zayin, the Sheet of Elazar Rabbi Yossi, that Bailim, that Shutfim, who bring a carbon, if one of the partners has an improper Kavana, why don't we say that the opinion of Blazer Rabbi Yossi is if one of the partners has an improper kavana, they will be mefagel the carbon. So asked Rabbi Yosef Engel, so how is any carbon tamid ever good if one member, carbon tamid is a carbon sibor, brought on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, if one member of Klal Yisrael has an improper kavana, he will then be downgrading and destroying the carbon tamid, because his, according to Rabbi Yossi, that the kavana of any of the bailim ruins the carbon. So how is a carbon tamid brought? Maybe one of the members of Klal Yisrael will have an improper kavana. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, number 20 in the Kuntres Gevurais Shmanim Oislam Advav. No, you're making a big mistake. There's a big difference between partners. Partners are not an enterprise. Partners is Reuven and Shimon. But a carbon tzibur is brought on behalf of the tzibur. And just like Rabbi Akiva holds, that a bigger tzibur, a more chashuv tzibur, does not elevate the tzibur, the same way the Ran teaches us, that even if someone is a murderer, he doesn't downgrade the tzibur. So too, if one member of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael has an improper kavana, this will not destroy the carbon. The reason it won't destroy the carbon is because the Tzibur transcends the limitations of its individual members, and one individual improper kavana will not downgrade the level, will not downgrade the status of a carbon brought on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. This is the concept that the Ran explains, that one of the ingredients of Ketores was Chelbana. Chelbana, excuse the expression, smelled terribly. Chelbana reeked. But nevertheless, when it was together with the other ingredients, it was neutralized. So too, we could have this roitzeach, that roitzeach, this mushchas, that. But when they enter the shul and they become part of the tzibur transcends the limitations of all of their parts. Therefore, we go back to the concept of a minyan. You could have 9 gedolei Yisrael, but ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yachta. So long as it's 9, they're yechidim, and each yachid has deficiency. But once you have 10 people, even though I'm deficient, and maybe the other guy is, but when we fuse together to become a tzibur, we are elevated to an amazing status, the status of tzibur, transcending the respective limitations. Says the Holy Sefer Shvilei Pinchas, I believe this is his chiddush. The Gemara Brachai says that this was the following minhag of Rabbi Akiva. When he would daven with the tzibur, he would daven briefly. Because of Tircha de Tzibura. When he davened by his own, on his own, you would leave him in one corner, you would find him in another corner. He davened with so much kavanos, with so much hislavos, with so much energy, and he was marech. Says the Shvilei Pinchas, this is Rabbi Akiva Lashitase. Rabbi Akiva, when he davened on his own, he davened a langa shmona esrei, he davened with a bren, he davened with, you couldn't find him anywhere near the place that he started. But why was Rabbi Akiva so brief when he davened with the tzibur? Because Rabbi Akiva is l'shitasei. Rabbi Akiva is the one who holds that when you have 100 people, 1,000 people, the nusach hatfila is the same, the nusach of benching is the same. Because an individual does not take away from the tzibur, but an individual doesn't add to the tzibur. You're neutralized. A tzibur is not downgraded by the deficiencies of its members, but it's not upgraded by the attributes of its members. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, if I daven on my own, so I'm on my own, so it's all dependent on me, I'm going to give it everything I have. But when I daven with the tzibur's tefillah is not elevated by any added kavana. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva did not have the same need. And we could say, amazingly, this is Rabbi Akiva, mamish l'shitasei. Because there's another sheet of Rabbi Akiva. And that is, in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah that says, Paragimo Mishnah Yuches, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenikru Banim Lamakoim, beloved are the Jewish people, we are always considered the children of Hashem. Chiba Yisera Noidas Lohem, even greater love is that it was told to us that we are the children of Hashem. Who is the Baal HaMemra? That we are always the children of Hashem. Amazingly, the Baal HaMemra in Pirkei Avos is Rabbi Akiva. Now, does Rabbi Akiva hold like Rav Meir, Bein Kach or Bein Kach Nekram Banim? We said many times that there's a famous story in Baba Basra, a conversation between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva, where Turnus Rufus asks Rabbi Akiva, hey Rabbi Akiva, does God love the poor? Rabbi Akiva says, sure He loves the poor. So Turnus Rufus says, so why doesn't He find them a job? So says Turnus Rufus, in my opinion, if you give charity to the poor, you should be chayiv misa, because the king decreed that one of his servants should not be supported, and you're going to contravene the decree of the king. Says Turnus Rufus, in my opinion, anyone who gives tzedakah is chayiv misa. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, bad example. This is analogous to a king who put his kid in jail, and no one was allowed to feed the king. What will the king do to someone who feeds his kid? The king will reward him. Says Rabbi Akiva, that is what giving tzedakah is. Says Rabbi Avadya Yosef, that means Rabbi Akiva holds, no matter what, if you're always allowed to give tzedakah, that means we are always like the children of Hashem. And the reason we paskin like Rav Meir, says Rabbi Avadya in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, Anaf Eitz Avos, the reason why we paskin like Rav Meir is because Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rav Meir that Ben Kach Ben Kach Nekram Banim. And the halacha is always like Rabbi Akiva. And even though we never paskin like Rav Meir, but we do paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and especially here, Rav Meir and Rabbi Akiva are now the roiv against Rabbi Yehuda. But I want to add, Rabbi Akiva is the Baal HaMemra that we are always the children of Hashem. Why are we always the children of Hashem? But what if this guy's not deserving, that guy's not deserving? Rabbi Akiva says, doesn't matter. But as a collective entity, we're untouchable. It's immutable. God's love for us as a tzibur is immutable. This is Rabbi Akiva Lashitase, who holds that the deficiencies of an individual do not downgrade the tzibur. But this is also Rabbi Akiva, who holds the attributes of the individual do not upgrade the tzibur. Comes the Shem Yishmuel on Lag BaOmer and number 19, and he says, Adavar Nifla Admoid. We know that Talmidei Chachamim have to accord each other great respect. Everyone has to accord each other great respect. Why do I need to respect you? Why do you need to respect me? What's the concept? What is the motivation? What is the reason to respect one another? Well, I respect you because you have milos I don't have. You have midos I don't have. You have maisim toivim I don't have. You have qualities that I don't have. And maybe I have qualities that you don't have. So since every person has his individual strengths, I need to respect you for your individuality and your individual good qualities. However, if you were a student of Rabbi Akiva, let's think about some of the teachings that you would probably always hear. You would always hear, Hashem always loves the Jewish people. Bonim atam Hashem lekechem. That no matter what one individual does, God's love for the tzibor is immutable and untouchable. That the entity of Yisrael transcends limitations of its individuals. But we know if that's what we would hear from our Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, we would likewise also hear and see Rabbi Akiva, when he would daven b'tzibor, he wouldn't daven extra long. Because the tzibor is not upgraded by the relative strengths of its members. There's no difference between 10, 100, and 1,000. The tzibor is not elevated by the sum total of its parts. In a way, this concept, taken to the extreme, diminishes the individual strength of a yachid. Because when you focus on the greatness of a tzibor, yes, a tzibor is great, that it rises above the limitations of its members, but it is also not elevated by the strengths of its members. It's you know, for lack of a better term, in a way, taken to its extreme, it's communism. Where there's just there's the state, but the individual, in a way, if he doesn't diminish, he also doesn't elevate. And in a sense, focusing on this too much could lead to not being noye kavod zeh lazeh, says the Shem Yishmuel. It was specifically the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva who emphasized the God, the greatness of the entity and the composite and the tzibor lost a little bit from the individuality and the greatness of the yachid. And this, says the Shem Yishmuel, is the meaning of the Medrash. That Hashem loves Klal Yisrael really in two ways. There's a national love, and there's an individual love. Actually, you know, when we say Banim Atem Hashem Aleikecha, many of the Mefarshim and Pirkei Avos, and we have a share on this, learn that the reason why it says the pasuk Banim Atem Hashem Aleikecha and not the pasuk Bani B'chayri Yisrael is to teach that God's love for us is not only on a national level, but on an individual level also. The Shem Yishmuel cites his father, the Avnei Nezer, saying on the Medrash Rabbah number 24, Vayakel, one pasuk says, Hashem counts us like stars, L'chulam b'shem yikra, and another pasuk says, L'chulam shemois yikra. This indicates that God loves us on two levels. He loves us as a nation, and He also loves us individually for our respective strengths. And the Shem Yishmuel says, you know, the month of Nisan is the mazal tleh, the mazal of the sheep. The Chazal tells us about the sheep. It has only one voice to Avinu Shebashamayim. The month of Nisan represents Klal Yisrael being beloved as a nation. But the month of Iyar, the mazal is a shar. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says about a shar, the horn of an ox is composed of many, many composite parts. The month of Iyar, says the Shem Yishmuel, is the month of God's love for the Jewish people as individuals. Therefore, he says it is the month of Iyar, when we need to focus on how Hashem loves us as Yechidim, that we have to strengthen ourselves in the being Noye Kavod Zeh Lazeh. And therefore, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva specifically, because of the emphasis on the greatness of the Tzibur, transcending above the limitations of its members, they sort of lost track of the greatness of each individual. That is why, since most of Sfira is during the month of Iyar, that is why these students passed away in the month of Iyar. says the Yishei Mishmuel, the mitzvah of Sfira is a mitzvah on the individual. Chazal say Menachai Samach Yemed Beis Usfartem Lachem Shetehei Sfira L'chol Echad Ve'echad. And no individual is yoytze with the sphere of his friend. Sphere has two parts, says Hashem Mishmuah. Amimar says, mitzvah lemimni yoymi, mitzvah lemimni shvui. It's a mitzvah to count days. We count the days to indicate that we are beloved to God as yechidim. We count the weeks to indicate we are beloved to God as the klal. So, this is Rabbi Akiva l'shitase. Rabbi Akiva, who held that the minyan is not elevated by more people in the minyan. And therefore we don't say Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael, a minyan of 10 is like 100, is like 1,000. This is the opinion that when you asser yourself to a community, even someone who moves in later you're asser to, because they're part of the community. This is the opinion that that a soita could bring a karban mincha, because marriage is an entity that's greater than just husband and wife. This is the opinion that a tzibor cannot be mefagel the karban tamid, because the tzibor rises above the limitations of each individual member. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who his tefillah when he davened b'yechidus was not as long, but his talmidim, who knew Rabbi Akiva shita, ben kach nekron banim, sort of this opinion was taken to the extreme. And we always have to remember, the Ribbono Shel'Olam's love for us is in two ways, as a tzibur and as individuals. So with that, let us take the lesson of the Yimei HaSfira to count the weeks, to realize our worth in front of Hashem as a tzibur, and to count the days to realize our worth in front of before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as individuals. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, everyone, feel good, be good, stay safe. Ribbono Shel'Olam should watch over all of us. Ushmar tseisenu ve'enu, l'chaim u'l'shalayim, me'atav yareilam. Shkoyach, have a great day.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.